Y'all were getting so worked up in the first half.
Well, I was not. I was.
You said you were ready to yell. You did say you were ready to yell. In the first half,
yes, but
you
I
said
wasn't,
you were ready to yell.
I wasn't ready to throw in the towel. Let me
all
be
right,
clear.
All right.
I was upset with the way that they were playing because I thought that they played sloppy.
They did do that.
But at the end of the day, I saw a lot of people on Twitter say, oh, my God, they deserve to lose if they lose. It's the first quarter.
And it was a 6-0 game.
It was 6-0.
Like,
the Saints were down 14-3 and have found a way to win a football game, guys. That is how football works. A lot of times, good teams.
And they were
teams,
playing a far better team than the Ravens were
I was getting
there.
Ready to say, sometimes, you kind of get slow when it comes to teams that aren't really on your level. And then you have to remember, they ain't on my level.
Right.
And then you level up.
Okay, look. So we'll talk about some of the things that people had concerns with in the first half. It wasn't a perfect day from the Ravens
it was
today
not.
On the road.
And that's okay.
By the way, I think what we saw in the first half might contribute to this rest versus rust conversation that we're going to be having around town this week leading into the game against the Steelers. This is the Project Game Day postgame show. Ravens are the number one seed in the AFC. That is all that matters. They have locked that up by defeating the Cleveland Browns today in Cleveland. So they now know that for as long as they play in the AFC playoffs, they will be at home.
Yep.
The next time they'll play a game outside of Baltimore would be Super Bowl. The hell number Super Bowl is this? 54? It's 54. Right? That's so funny, right? With the Super 54
yes,
in Miami.
The last time they won was 47. That was
right.
7 years. That
there
was
you go. We can do math, you and I. We can figure this out together.
Boom.
Look at us. she's the NFL chick, Sarita Hubbard. I'm Glenn Clark. So, Rita, here's the deal. The Ravens did not get off to a great start. And that might just be some weird anomaly. But someone else might point out, hey, it had been 10 days since they had played last. And if that's the case, if their slow start is related to that, then that might be why someone makes an argument, hey, here's the reason why I don't love the idea of just sitting all of your guys next week and meaning that they're going to go 3 weeks before they play another football game.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be someone that's going to say that rest versus rust thing is real to me, and seeing the impact of rust today against a bad football team, okay, it wasn't the end of the world. But if they've got to play the Houston Texans coming up here, or even
are
you
really concerned?
I'm not really, but they're better than the Browns, Rita. They're better than the Browns.
Yes, but the Texans have a lot of issues.
Yes, I'm not telling you that I'm scared of the Texans. Well,
give me a team that we supposed to be scared of.
Well, that's basically there's only three teams you could play in that round. There's only three teams you could play in the divisional round. Well, I guess technically there's four because
four,
there's
yes,
right. You can either play the Texans, the Bills, the Steelers, or the Titans.
Yes.
Those are the four
yes.
options for who you could play in the divisional round of the playoffs. The point being, while I'm not scared of the Texans necessarily, if you do come out, get off to a slow start, look rusty, the Texans are more capable of making you pay for that than the Browns would be.
Okay.
And I think that's going to play into the conversation that we're going to have this week. There are going to be plenty of folks who say, come hell or high water, Lamar Jackson does not see the field next Sunday against the Steelers, no matter what. Not for a play, not for a drive, not for a quarter. You don't put him out there.
You should not care. You should not.
I am not as quick to say, hell no.
So are you suggesting maybe he plays a couple of drives?
I'm suggesting my preference would still, like, I would still lean to, you don't need to have him out there, don't put him out there. But as we talked about, I guess you and I didn't get to talk about it after the Jets game because you weren't here. So the Jets game showed me something, which was once the game was in Laffer territory in the fourth quarter, but it was still 15 minutes left against an NFL opponent, so you had to leave the guy out there a little bit longer.
Okay.
Lamar showed me this remarkable ability of saying, I understand the difference between this and a real football game, and I'm not going to do anything silly here. If the play's not there, I'm just going to run out of bounds or throw the ball away. I'm not going to go try to get an extra yard. And if you can sit with him and have that sort of tacit agreement this week, like, look, we want you to go through the motions. We want you to go through practice, through warm-ups, through everything.
I think that's fair.
And we want to put you out there for a drive, for two drives. Look, if it's just not
one,
fine, one, whatever it is.
I'm with you. I'm not fully against if the starting offense comes out to play. Because again, like you said, let me give you an example. The Colts is a prime example of a team that we've seen get sat down in week 17.
And then sit out another week.
And then they lost to the Chargers at home.
Right. And they just start before. Slowly that, right. that rust thing becomes yes. real.
Now.
You give guys a week off to go out right. and do their thing. And they come back from it, and they're just not quite as sharp as they were when they were rolling off, 11 straight wins.
But let me say this also, too.
Yeah, both work.
Okay, whatever. It's the same thing.
Whatever. It's holiday week.
This was a physical football game, and we saw Lamar limping at one point. Obviously, Mark Ingram it did not return.
Right.
Mark
and that's
Andrews
the biggest.
At one point was limping. So while I agree with you, if players need that extra week, if they need 2 weeks off, I think you kind of have to allow it. Now, I would say that guys like maybe Hayden Hurst, Nick Boyle, if they're healthy, allow them to play maybe a quarter.
Look, you can only deactivate seven guys
correct,
to begin with.
Correct.
So that's part of the problem. Yeah. Somebody's got to play next
Somebody's got to play.
Right.
But ultimately, if guys are really hurting, like a Mark Ingram, because obviously we don't know what the situation with him
right.
is right at this moment, You just gotta.
So that's the biggest biggest issue right now is the question about what they're dealing with Mark Ingram.
Yep.
That's the story at the moment for the Ravens in the postgame. I don't know that we'll get an answer, a direct answer about the nature of the injury.
We won't.
If they know that it's serious, right, then maybe we get that answer. But otherwise, it's going to kind of be up in the air. So I think you start there. You're right. It's pretty obvious Mark Ingram ain't playing next week.
Yeah.
Like that, it would suggest
yes.
that if it's not a season ender, we just start with, hey, there's no reason why he needs to be on the field. If you're dealing with anything injury-wise, you don't need to be on the field next week.
Yep.
So you check off that list, right? You say, who are the other guys that got banged up today? Jimmy Smith was banged up. Marcus Peters was banged up. If you want to say, hey, those guys don't need to play next week either, I'd say fine.
Yep.
Particularly because Jimmy Smith didn't play all that well today. You start going through that list of guys that are dealing with injury issues. Well, how many more deactivations do you even still have left at that point? Like, how many more guys can you even still put on the bench? So I'm not screaming about it. I'm not telling you that I need to see Lamar Jackson
right.
on the field next week. I'm just saying that if they feel like, hey, there could be a benefit to just keeping him sharp this week in practice, taking first team reps throughout the week, having him out there on the field to start the game, telling him don't do anything crazy because we don't care about the result of this football game at all. So if it's not there, do not go try to make a play downfield. Do not do anything that involves you taking a hit. And they trust that he can do that. It
yep.
won't break my heart if that's what they do.
So I'm with you. Like I'm not against them playing just for a little bit. Obviously not four quarters. I think that's a lot. But ultimately, I do think that doesn't hurt, but if the Steelers need to win more, which I think that happens because the Titans lose today, it might get a little chippy. So that's
what you're talking about is the scenario in which if you just put Lamar Jackson on the field, there could be somebody on that side of the field that just says, I'm going to go hit that guy, and I don't care if it's after
and I think that that's a fair.
I don't care if it's after the
fair.
Whistle.
And that's fair.
And that's the argument back from anybody who says, no matter, like, for example, somebody already did this. Brian said, no, you're starting Trace McSorley next week and making Lamar
Trace
inactive.
McSorley? We're just going to act like RG3.
Well, I mean, what you're essentially saying is we don't care. We don't want RG3 getting hurt either because that's our backup quarterback. Mm. So we don't want anybody in that game that could possibly get hurt that might matter.
Mm-hmm.
So make the dude that's inactive, that's not going to be active in the playoffs, make him be the quarterback next week. So if they're out there trying to hit somebody, they can hit that guy because we don't care about whether or not he's available come the postseason. So while, yes, you would say it's RG3's turn or it's his job, the argument would be is he's more important than this guy is, so we don't want him on the field either. We want no one on the field, or as many as we can, that are important whatsoever. And that speaks to your argument.
Yep.
All right, let me get to a few comments. I also have a couple things I want to talk to you about from today's game. From Paul, even before his touchdown, I was going to comment about how good Justice Hill looked as a receiver out of the backfield today. Hopefully he gets a lot of work next week to boost his confidence even more heading into the playoffs. Another dynamic weapon to add to the mix. Brian followed up by saying, yes, we're lucky that we have both Hill and Edwards.
Well, Justice Hill was a guy that was his
first
game
career
coming out of college.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
He was a guy that that came out of college and he was very good out of the backfield, catching passes as well as running the football. And so I don't want to speak anything into existence. As of right now, we don't know what the situation is with Mark Ingram. But what I told what I told Glenn prior to us coming on is that I hope Mark Ingram is okay,
yep,
obviously.
Of course.
But I am confident that Justice Hill could do a good job running the football if he
and I think the,
is
and the combination
available.
Too. I think that I think what you're alluding to is that maybe in this scenario Justice Hill looks more like your featured back.
Yeah.
But I think it becomes more 50-50
yes.
with Gus Edwards. And it still wouldn't surprise me. Let's not forget Gus Edwards spent most of last season as the featured back for the Ravens.
Gus the Bus. We gave him a whole nickname as a result.
I know that he had the fumble today, but that's his first fumble.
But
like
he recovered
in,
his own fumble. I'm not even listen.
And again, it's one fumble.
One.
Ever. Like,
as
that's
right
how crazy
now,
the dude.
Same thing as what Lamar has had one fumble this whole season. Gus has had one fumble. So
Lamar, I don't know who they credited the one to today. I don't know if that went to.
My thing is he recovered his own fumble. So.
Well, the one today, I'm talking about Lamar. When Lamar, the handoff issue
oh, that's
with
right.
Lamar
oh, that's
and Mark
right,
Ingram.
That's right, that's right.
I don't remember.
The lineman,
I assume they gave it to Lamar. But the point being, I'm with you. I still have faith. And I guess the best way for me to say it is, it would really hurt this team to lose Mark Ingram. There's no question about that. He
yes.
has been a monster
yes.
all season. He's been a better pass catcher than I ever realized he was capable of being
yep.
during his time in New Orleans. Now, part of that was that their sort of defined roles where that Alvin Kamara was more of the pass catcher
yep.
in New Orleans. But a lot of people had said, no, dude, Mark Ingram's a good pass catcher. He just hasn't been asked to do it quite as much. Well, they've proven to be right. He's been an excellent
yep.
pass catcher for this team this season. It will hurt if they lose Mark Ingram the rest of the year. But I think the way that you and I were talking about it was, I don't think it dooms the Ravens. And somebody
Correct.
Might say, hey, nothing dooms the Ravens outside of Lamar Jackson getting hurt, right? And there might be some truth to that. Is if you've got Lamar Jackson on the field, you're going to have a chance to beat anybody the rest of the way, no matter who else is out there.
Right.
There's an element of truth to that. But I guess I would say there are guys that I'd be more concerned
yeah.
about. Like, I'd be more concerned with Ronnie Stanley or Marshall Yanda
Absolutely.
Getting hurt than I would
Absolutely.
Be with Mark Ingram getting hurt.
Yep.
He's, you know, a top 10, right? Like, he's in that conversation, but I don't know that he's a top 3 or even a top 5 as far as injuries that would doom your chances.
Yep, I completely agree.
I'm trying to say it all the right way. Hurts you, no question. It hurts this team to lose Mark Ingram because he's been excellent. But to your point, I think everybody likes what the Ravens have in the backfield
yep.
entirely, and there might be something to be said for Justice Hill being really fresh.
And that's what I was going to say. And also, this is a guy that we haven't seen much of because Mark Ingram has been so effective.
No question.
So it allows him to come off the bench and be effective. And today, obviously, he had a touchdown. Is that his first touchdown?
Yes, that's his first touchdown.
Okay.
Yep.
So, you know, it allowed him to have his first touchdown of the whole in the entire season in week 16. I don't want Mark Ingram to be done for the season.
No.
But again, like you said, if an offensive what the Ravens can't afford is another offensive lineman done for the season. We've already lost the center,
right?
In Skura.
And look, McCary has played.
And yeah, that's no disrespect to McCary by any means.
Right.
Let me be clear.
He's played well.
He's played very well.
And they survived a game without Ronnie Stanley last week.
Did.
And James Hurst, you know.
Yeah,
look.
But that team was trash. I'm gonna be honest with you. That team was trash.
I agree.
So whatever, it is what it is. But you're right. And also, he has great guys on the left of him and on the right of him that helps him, allows him
no
to
question.
Learn the game.
Dude,
at
we
got to
talk
speed.
More about. Look, I get it. We talked a lot about Marshall Yanda, but
yeah.
we need to talk more about the season that Marshall
Absolutely.
Yanda has put together.
Absolutely.
And it takes nothing away from Ronnie Stanley or Orlando Brown, who I both think have been really good. I think Bradley Bozeman's been better than any of us saw
Absolutely.
Coming going into this season.
Well, because obviously, when he came out of college, we thought that he was going to be a center. When he
right.
was at Alabama, he was a center. He didn't do well in that position when he first came to the Ravens. They found a way to make him move to the guard, and they found a way to make him effective. And honestly, it's been – I did not see his
effectiveness.
I thought he was going to be okay.
I thought he was going to be fine. I thought he was going to be a serviceable player that would get them through.
But he's been very good.
He's been straight up good.
He's
now,
been better than my expectations. Let me say
that. That being said, Marshall Yanda has played this season like – you know what? I just said this on Twitter a minute ago, Rita. To me, he's a guy that – is playing. I don't think he thinks about this. I don't believe that because Marshall Yanda, I just don't think he cares about some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But he's playing like a dude that knows how effing hard it is for a guard to get into the Hall of Fame and understands that you can't just be a really good one. It has to be overwhelming. He's playing like a dude that is this deep into his career and playing maybe better than he's played, and he's been a damn good one for a really long time. He's playing like a dude that's trying to force the conversation
yep.
and say, y'all ain't going to be able to leave me out. You're not going to be able to leave me out or just say, he's just a guard.
Yep.
There's other guys we want to put in over him. He's playing like a guy that wants to make sure when his name comes up in that room, they all have to look around at each other and say, well, we can't keep Marshall Yanda out. Like, look how hard it's been for Tony Boselli to get into the Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
Look how hard it's been for Hutchinson to get in the Hall of Fame. These are great players, right? Kevin Mawai had to wait for years. Alan Faneca is still waiting, right? And these are really good players. Marshall Yanda, and I know Boselli was a tackle, but Marshall Yanda is playing like a dude who wants to be like, okay, I ain't waiting. You're going to have to go ahead and just put me in.
And for perspective, right, Marshall Yanda is a guy that was obviously on a Super Bowl team 7 years ago. There's only a handful of guys that is still on this team, including the Wolfpack. Including Jimmy Smith. It's not
Josh Bynes came back.
Josh Bynes,
right?
Which I mean, I guess you count him, right? But he wasn't on his team consistently from the Super Bowl. He just got back this year after the Ravens did some retooling, right? But ultimately, Marshall Yanda has been the one consistent with the very few other selective guys that
I named.
You said
Jimmy Smith, right?
I said Jimmy Smith.
I thought so.
And I said the Wolfpack.
Yep.
Outside of that, it's very few guys that are still on this football team from. I guess that's 7 years ago.
Yes.
And that is still, he is playing at such, and Jimmy Smith at the time, he was still in his rookie contract. He was still in his rookie deal. This guy at this point, Marshall Yanda, has played at such a high level.
Yeah, he was absurdly high level in 2012.
And I was going to say, in 2012, he was at this level.
And
he has not changed the
correct.
Level of play.
Correct.
And that, do you know how hard that is for an offensive lineman
it's crazy.
7 years
it's crazy.
Later?
It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I mean, we can't say enough about, and again, I don't want to take anything away from any of the rest of the guys in the offensive line, because Stanley's been great and Brown's
but
been great.
But you have to credit the vet. The veteran.
And I
you
think
have
he's
to
played.
Him.
I think he's just been unbelievable.
He has.
Think he's been unbelievable this season. The other dude to me that stepped up today, and I talked about it at halftime, you know, it was tough for Sam Cook, right? Like, he spent a good part of the season not being asked to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, when nothing was working in the first half, when they were down 6-0, when things just weren't clicking, when it looked a little off, and they needed someone to step up and make some winning football plays. He first flipped the field with a booming punt, then followed it up with a coffin corner punt to the 3-yard line. Like, Sam Cook made two plays in the first half that you'll forget about, because when the Ravens came to life, like, obviously, you know, everything changed. It was Lamar Jackson's show again, and we all know that.
Yep.
But when this team couldn't get anything going, when nothing was going their way, and somebody had to step up and make some football plays, Sam Cook stepped up today and made two huge football
plays
to change momentum for this team in the first half.
And I think I saw a stat that said that they, the Ravens had, in this entire season, today was the first day that they did not score in their first four possessions. I saw that on Twitter, that they have all season long.
It's amazing, right? Like, isn't that amazing?
They have scored at minimum at one of their first four possessions. And they did not. And so Sam Cook, ironically, we talked about this a few weeks ago, how he hasn't gotten enough play. Well, you know what? He got some play today, and he still is playing at a very high level.
Nailed back-to-back two huge, massive punts when his team needed them, and I think it was worth crediting.
Yep.
A couple people wanted to give shout-outs to L.J. Ford. Obviously, didn't get to keep either of his interceptions today.
Which,
the second one, you and I—
very weird to me.
Yeah.
I've seen too many interceptions this season that, in similar formation, had been considered interceptions. I did not think that the ground helped him. Catch the ball. I thought that he had control going to the ground. And for whatever reason, again, I mentioned this on Twitter in the Steelers game. We saw this happen in one of the interceptions that they had against the Ravens. And for whatever reason, they counted that, which we considered to be an incomplete pass. And now all of a sudden, that's not a complete pass.
At
this point.
It's one thing if they had ruled that an interception and they come back and said, ruled that an incomplete pass and said, it's really close, but because we ruled it an incomplete pass on the field, we're just going to leave it as an incomplete pass. Like, okay, they overturned that to make it an incomplete pass, which that seemed crazy to me that was the case.
Yep.
Shout out for that. But the other thing, too, a lot of people were killing it. We talked about this at the half. A lot of people were beating up L.J. Ford about the one that didn't count, the one there was a penalty, because they all thought that he should have just let that ball hit the ground. He ended up trading a bunch of yards. I talked about it on Twitter and talked about it at halftime. You are coached up in those circumstances. This isn't like a Hail Mary. You are coached to go get the turnover. Go get the ball, because if you try to bat that down and it bounces off your leg or something and bounces into somebody's hands, then you're going to feel really stupid that you didn't just catch the ball when you had the chance to catch the ball.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it would have been a loss of some yards as opposed to an incomplete pass, and you'd like to think the players in those situations could think through every aspect of that and somehow immediately smashed the ball down to the ground, but I didn't have a problem with him going and getting the ball and making sure he had the turnover in that spot. I was with it on that. All right, a few people want to talk about the Odell Beckham thing.
What about it?
I don't care.
I don't know
how else to say
this. Why do we care about a team that is not going to the playoffs, guys? We don't care. We don't care. Do not put your energy into a guy that will be sitting at home watching the Ravens play in 3 weeks. Seriously. I don't care what he did. I don't care what he did. He is on a mediocre football team with a mediocre quarterback who is not going to the playoffs. Let it go. Let it go.
I literally couldn't say it better.
Let it go.
I literally.
So what? I am entertained. At the end of the day. Listen.
By the way, I'm actually legit pissed. Do you know what happened in the first half on the penalty he got? Do you know the story on that?
Tell me.
He's a big fan of the Little Rascals. And that's the wave that they do. Like, it's the little, if you ever saw the movie The Little Rascals, I shared a clip of what, like, Whoopi Goldberg played Buckwheat's mom. They all do this little stupid thing where they put their hand under their chin and they wave like that, mm-hmm. right? That's not a taunt. That's him having fun. And apparently he's been doing this for some time. He's just a big fan of the Little Rascals.
Yep.
So I was actually really pissed because I happen to be a nerdy fan of the Little Rascals myself. So I was actually really pissed that he got hit with a flag there because I'm like, yo, I didn't care at all about Odell Beckham before this moment, but now I think he's a legend, right? Like, so I was actually pretty pissed about it. The other one, as I tweeted, my tweet was almost exactly what you just said. I said, a lot of folks getting really butthurt about OBJ doing the Ravens celebration. You guys, your team is the good one. That dude has to go back to being with the Browns.
Thank you.
All is good here.
Listen, let me tell you.
Who cares?
Let me tell y'all a story, right? Remember when in 2004, because I be remembering
stuff.
Is this
a Terrell Owens thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Ray Lewis dance? And obviously, ultimately, the Eagles won that football game. And I was really upset. But there was obviously some underlying tones to that. I remember the trade that happened that he nullified.
Do you remember what it is that Terrell Owens called Ozzie Newsome?
What did he say about
Ozzie
Newsome?
Oh, he used a term I don't think I'm supposed to use.
Okay, but I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't. Remember
I mean, like
off the
he,
top of my head.
He, or maybe it wasn't. But he said back. All right, you know.
I kind of remember it being something bad.
Yes, there was.
I kind of remember it being something bad. And Terrell Owens does not have a championship. Not to say that if he would have came to the Ravens, he would have had a championship. Because I'm not gonna lie to you, he was gonna play with Kyle Bowler.
I don't know that anybody could have made Kyle Bowler. Yes, correct.
I'm completely mad at him.
Yeah,
yes.
Right.
Now what you said was some of the things that he said was out of line, and then what he did with the Ravens after he shunned them in a trade was dead wrong. However, when I look back in hindsight, it was funny. It was funny. And guess what? The Eagles didn't win a championship, guys. It's okay for players to just do stuff
to entertain sometimes.
I want to be entertained. And when OBJ did that, when you said something to me about it, and I didn't see it originally because I'm on my way here, and I went on Twitter and I found it. It was funny to me. I don't care about a team that's losers,
right,
guys.
Cares?
I don't
who cares?
Care.
Who cares? Like, cool, man. That's cool. Like, do your
and
thing.
And you know what? Even if it did put him ahead, I probably would have laughed anyway because ultimately that's what sports is, entertainment.
Right. I'm worried about one thing. The Ravens won the football game.
That's it.
We're cool.
That's all
we're
I
cool,
care about.
Man.
Like, all I care about.
Now I care about Mark Ingram.
Y'all
like,
know
this
he's
is
not
the
happy. Y'all know he's not happy.
Yeah,
you know
made
Jarvis,
that very clear.
You know Jarvis Landry's not happy. You know guys there aren't happy. I don't care about OBJ celebrating his touchdown.
No doubt.
I don't. Has he had 5 touchdowns all season?
Maybe. I mean, maybe five.
I think he might have reached his 5th one today.
Right, like that's it.
Guys, let it go.
All right, need groceries today, but don't have time to shop. Order online with same-day pickup or delivery at Wise Markets. Wise to go online. Now that's convenient. It's the Project Game Day post-game show from the Live Casino Hotel studio of PressBox. I did have someone say, but you look like an ass when you do that and you're still losing.
Yes, you do. But
why do you care?
So, we don't care. Like, I want my sports to be entertaining.
Right.
I don't want it to be me going to my 9-to-5 acting like I have to be a civilized human.
Yeah, I don't need to be buttoned up the entire time. Right,
thank
I agree
you.
With you. And what I would say is that's their conversation to have in Cleveland. Like, let them talk about that if they want to talk about it. If they have a problem with it, I just don't know why anybody would have a problem. Who cares?
Yep.
Who cares what celebration you're doing? You're trying to get the crowd into the game. You're trying to remember when he scored that touchdown, they were a 2-point conversion away from being back within 7. They just decided to go for it then and missed the 2-point conversion, and so it never got back to a 1-possession game.
Yep.
But in that moment, they had some momentum flowing. They had reason to think that maybe they were getting back into the game. They were trying to get the crowd to feel it. The things they needed to have happen in the other games today were all happening, so they were alive in their faint playoff hopes. The fact that the dude how could you be worked up about that?
Yep.
You've got so much to like. How good is our life?
Yep.
My God, we get to watch the most exciting player in the history of football every effing week, and we're going to spend time pissing and moaning about Odell Beckham?
I'm not going to do that. This is the first time in franchise history that this team has had a number one seed. I don't know what this is like.
Because we could have the AFC Championship game in Baltimore for the first
time ever.
This is
better than the 2006 13-3 season.
Yes.
I mean, that was a good – that was a fun year. Playoff game.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about that.
It was a fun – that was a fun year, guys. This year has been amazing, and I don't want you to care about losers. I want you to worry about the playoffs. Let them deal with themselves. That's it.
Worry about yourself. The other thing, too, is people getting worried. So there's this batch of Patriots fans that's butthurt about everybody accusing the Patriots of cheating because they constantly cheat, right? So they're doing everything in their power. Like, hey, the Ravens have a 360 camera.
Well, I saw that, and I was like, that's illegal camera.
Right, or today it was they found this picture of Deion Sanders on the sidelines, and he's wearing
the security guy?
Yes, he's wearing a Bluetooth thing. But they don't know he's the security guy, so they're all like, one of the Ravens' assistant coaches is wearing a Bluetooth. Like,
yeah.
You guys, just let them deal. They are...
Hey,
who
guys.
Who cares about
that
them?
That is called deflection.
Right. Who cares about it?
That is a team.
Celebrate.
That has been obviously guilty of cheating in the past.
Right.
When you look at the video, it doesn't seem to incriminate him, but when you hear the audio of him begging the
security
to delete it and he can just go about his business, that makes him guilty too.
Well, it is really... I mean, look, that whole thing is weird, and I'm not worked up about that either, right?
I don't care.
Like, I'm just not worked up about any of it.
I don't care.
Dude,
I don't care about the Patriots.
There's one thing to care about. Why in the world is it so hard to get an effing Lamar Jackson jersey this
year?
Well, excuse me. I would like you all to know,
I bought my jersey last year. When you guys weren't on the bandwagon, I got it pretty early.
So there's an argument for that.
Because everybody knows, and Glenn
can absolutely
vouch for me,
that's a fact,
that I have been a Lamar Jackson fan since 2015 at Louisville. So if you are you're new to this wagon, sorry.
Okay, I'm with you on that part, but still, you've got a product.
Sorry,
you got a product that everybody wants, and you can't
guess
get a few.
Guess who don't care?
You can't
I got
get
their
a few
jersey.
More jerseys.
Guess who don't
you
care?
You can't get a few more jerseys
I
in
don't
town.
Care. I got my jersey in 2018, guys.
Shame I'm not.
You're late to the bandwagon in jerseys, and late to the bandwagon in liking Lamar Jackson. That is your fault, not mine.
We'll come back in. We'll talk more about next week. She's Rita. I'm Glenn. We're in the Live Casino Hotel Studio. It's the Project Game Day post game show. I love you. God, I love doing this show.
Hey, this is Stan the Fan. You know we're all hoping for a special season out of our football team. When it comes to dining out casually and affordably, I know a place that's special every season. The Costas Inn at 4100 North Point Boulevard. Not only are they known all over for their great steamed crabs and crab cakes, they have a couple specials you want to keep in mind. Monday night is crab cake night. Tuesday night is ribs night. Wednesday night is steak night, partnered with half-priced bottles of your favorite wines. And Thursday night is lobster night. So check out the Costas Inn this football season, and you may come back whatever the season. That's the Costas Inn, 4100 North Point Boulevard, 410-477-1975.
Need groceries today but don't have time to shop? Order online with same-day pickup or delivery at Wise Markets. Wise to go online. Now that's convenient.
This is Stan the Fan for Glen Burnie Transmissions, located right in the heart of Glen Burnie for almost 60 years. If you suspect you're having a transmission problem, GBT can save you hundreds of dollars over taking it to the dealers for a repair. Make an appointment for a free diagnostic and estimate. Call GBT at 855-728-1841. Their mission is simple, to provide excellent service at a reasonable price. Go to their website at gbt-online.com to check out all of the 5-star reviews. issues. Let my friend Mark Schwartzman and his GBT team take the troubles out of transmission troubles. Call them today at 855-728-1841.
Respect. It's more than a word. In the U.S. Army, it is one of our core values, earned through selfless service to our nation and making a difference both at home and abroad. On the Army team, respect is earned daily. And now, in addition to earning respect, you may earn up to $40,000 in bonuses if you qualify. To learn more, visit goarmy.com/bonus or call 1-800-USA-ARMY, paid for by the U.S. Army.
Catch all of the action at your neighborhood Glory Days Grill, where we have tons of TVs to catch every moment of every game. Enjoy $6.99 burgers on Mondays, $5.99 nachos on Thursdays, and drink specials throughout the season to help you cheer on your favorite teams. Come in today and try something new from our seasonal menu. Glory Days Grill, great food, good sports.
Yeah, it's actually a shame that I lost weight, Rita, because there are plenty of 2X jerseys available. You want to get your hands on a 2X or bigger jersey, they got them. You can go get those.
Yep.
But if you're a normal size human being, it ain't happening for you. Reed and I were just talking during the break about, we really didn't spend any time talking about what happened in the final 2 minutes of the first half just because it's so so far removed from it. But this is why I sort of said my column, and maybe I'll still write it tomorrow at pressboxonline.com, but if I wrote a column about this game, my column would be, this is why it's so hard to beat the Ravens. Because what everybody was worried about in the first half, all those little things, right? Like one, you know, fumble that sets them up on the 35-yard line, like we're just on the edge of the red zone to begin with. Those little things that might doom other teams, they're not going to doom the Ravens. What you have to be up for as an opponent in order to beat the Ravens is nearly flawless football. They're not beating themselves.
Yeah.
The things that other teams get beat by, a bad call, you know, something not going their way, the Ravens say, okay, cool, we'll go get the ball back the next time and we'll just go score. Or you'll give it to us with 2 minutes left and we'll score 14 points. Like, those, you can't, nothing beats the Ravens unless you beat the Ravens.
Yep.
And there's so few teams that I even think are capable of doing that.
I agree.
Now, I am nervous about potentially facing the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. That makes me nervous because I think the Chiefs are the one team that might be up for it.
From a matchup perspective, I do think that that is something that you need to think about. But I, like I told you in the break, is that so many things have changed
since that football game.
They made a lot of change in a personnel perspective defensively, and I think that offensively they've learned how to manage the football game better. So in the second half, in the beginning of the second half, I couldn't understand why the Ravens weren't running the football. And again, I know that the Browns
It was really funny when Tracy Wolfson said, I just talked to John Harbaugh, they're going to try to establish the run, and the first two plays of the second half were both passes. The third one would have been a pass, except for the fact that Lamar went and ran it to pick up the first down.
And that was the thing. It wasn't a designed run, right?
Right.
And then after that, they started to run the football. And my thing is that ultimately, I know they didn't get much from that drive. I know they didn't get much from a running perspective from that drive, but I still wanted them to at least make the attempt because you want to take the time of possession off, and also you want to set up some better play action. And so I think that the Ravens in the first bout with the Chiefs, they wanted to do some type of Lamar versus Mahomes thing, and Lamar wasn't ready for that stage.
And now, I would say not just Lamar. This team wasn't ready for that.
This team wasn't ready for that stage. Let me be clear, because if I'm not mistaken, guys, and you can guys check me on this. I believe that the Ravens threw 9 more times than they ran the football, although Mark Ingram was very effective in that game. So I think now they've learned that team still has some issues from a running defense perspective, and now you know how to play that team better. That team cannot defend 3 tight ends flat out.
I agree.
I don't care if Suggs is there. Suggs is not an every down guy at this point. Suggs is supposed to be there to replace Okafor. He's not that
guy. I still think
he
can help against the run.
He can help.
I think that he will help them. And that might be why he's...
But he is not going to, man for man, replace the guy that they had to put on injured reserve.
Yeah.
That is the point that I'm specifically making. Only because Suggs has been in this game a long time. He is a veteran. He's not going to play every down. And that's all I'm saying in that regard. And if you do try to make him play the entire game, he's probably going to find a way.
We got to get your microphones running away from you.
He's probably going to find a way to disappear. later in the game.
I hear
and
you.
So that's what I'm saying. And so now I think that the Ravens understand a little bit more how this offense is effective as opposed to when they played way back, which feels like a lifetime ago. And I think now they are matched up perfectly with the additions of that they had in defense.
I don't disagree with those things. I don't. The reason why it's nerve-wracking to me is not about, like, I think the Ravens won't have an issue with their defense. I don't think that... I think the Patriots have a really great defense. I don't think the Ravens will have an issue with that. I don't think defense can beat the Ravens. I don't think there's any defense that can beat the Ravens.
Yeah, but if you keep them on the field, if you keep Kansas City on the field, then we're not having this conversation.
I agree with you. I think it's just the ability for a team to go toe-to-toe with what the Ravens are doing, and the Chiefs are the one team that might. And I'm not even saying that I think that means they'll go beat them. It's more like I think they can make it so that one goofy thing can change the football game. The stuff that was goofy today that couldn't change the football game because the Browns just aren't good enough, that goofy crap that happened in the first half that everybody was panicked about, those are the things that if you face a really good football team, a really capable football team, could hurt you. So my hope is they got all that S out of the way today, right?
Why you can't say the S word?
I guess we can. I don't know. I just try not to. You want me to do it? I'll do it. I hope they got all that shit out of the way.
There
today.
You go. Get it out.
All right.
Get it
That's out. That's the point. The point is, I hope they got it out of the way. I hope the fumble in the first half, the missed handoff, I hope they got that out of the way today. I hope that Gus Edwards, who never, ever, ever fumbles, fumbling the ball, I hope they got it out of the way today. I hope that, I said, I did not understand on 3rd and 6 in the first half when you're past midfield, why are you chucking the ball down the sideline to Marquise Brown? What? You've established if it's 4th and short.
I didn't like that no call. I'm sorry.
Well, okay, that's fine. But you've established if you're going for it on 4th and short, like, then why don't you run a play to set yourself up to either pick up the first down or get yourself within 4th and 1, 4th and 2 territory?
I agree.
What I didn't like those things. I'm hoping they got it all out. That today was the day. Today was the clunker. Everybody talks about there being a clunker. Well, I'm hoping today was the clunker, and it just so happens they won their clunker going away. Well, they won it by 16
this
points.
This clunker was the last time that they lost this football lost a football game.
Correct.
So obviously, division opponents always find a way to say
no question.
Let's just look, we're gonna step up this game. And I said this last week. I literally said the Browns are going to show up today. And that's what they did. They attempted to show up today. Unfortunately, they didn't have enough star power on the lines of the football game. Myles Garrett wasn't there. Vernon Oliver wasn't there.
Sure.
So those things, obviously, I think, helped with what happened. But that being said, the Ravens found a way to win a football game outside of the very uncharacteristic quarter and a half.
Just mistakes, right, correct.
Yeah.
A couple, Paul, are you prepared for 5 nighttime project game days next season? There will definitely be more of those. There will definitely
I
be more.
No, I'm not prepared.
Yeah.
I like to sleep.
Yeah, Rita loves to tell me that she's washed. She's like,
I am washed. I like to go to bed, so I don't want to be out late.
I hear you. I'm not really looking forward to it either.
I don't like to be out late.
I'm not looking forward to it either.
So I am one of those people, Glenn. I do not like primetime games. One, because historically, I know that the numbers probably are in the Ravens' favor historically in primetime games, but ultimately, I feel like in my memory, primetime games did not fare well for the Ravens. I don't like primetime games,
you.
Guys. I want my anxiety. Y'all want my anxiety to be up all day? You want me to be anxious all day for a football game? I just want to be anxious from
it's
the
really
morning
funny to me.
Until the 1:30, 2 o'clock. Now you are telling me that at 5 times next year, I got to worry about being anxious till 9, 10 o'clock at night? I'm not interested in that.
Oddly enough, with this team, I have none of that.
I'm talking about next year.
I know. I just,
I'm not interested.
Like, I just don't feel, when they're down in the, I just don't feel any
not
of it.
Not interested.
I hear you.
I don't want it. Want my games at 1 o'clock.
All right, here's the thing that matters. John Harbaugh says, Mark Ingram, no structural issues with Mark Ingram's
calf.
He says they'll know more tomorrow.
Probably a strain.
That's from Jeff Zrebeck's Instagram. Or
probably a
Facebook,
strain.
Twitter, whatever it is.
Twitter.
Yes, thank you.
I cannot believe you said Facebook. We do not.
Rita, I'm not. It's what it is. All right? It's what it is. It's holiday week, right? Like, come on.
I think that Mark, I thought when he walked off the field, I didn't think that it was a Achilles. I know a lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people were panicked about that. I didn't like how he was reaching, but
I feel like I feel like I know what that Achilles walk is, and I didn't feel like he had that when he walked off the field. So, maybe it's possibly a strain.
So now we got it. Then that's the thing. That doesn't guarantee anything.
It doesn't.
You start by saying
but
obviously.
But structural damage is a good thing.
That's a major thing.
Yeah.
So you start by saying, look, obviously he's not playing. playing next week. That part is clear. He's not playing.
So maybe 3 weeks that he has rest. Hopefully he's okay.
That's the hope. As we see moving forward, what's going on with Mark Ingram. But you start with that is good news. That structurally they don't walk in and say, hey guys, we know immediately it's really bad. So you start with that as being good news, and everything else we're just going to have to be patient about. And that's going to be the tricky part, right? Like, this has been so exciting and so much fun week in and week out. It's going to be really hard for us. Like, you and I are going to do a Project Gaming next week, and it's going to feel like it's going to feel like doing one for a preseason game. You know, like, it's going to be so utterly irrelevant, and we're just not going to have the juices flowing again for so long. It is going to be a really long time until we got the juices flowing again for a Ravens game, which is a bummer, but you'd rather be in this position than the alternative, man. Like, you are so much happier that you're in this spot where we can sit back and just
enjoy this moment. Like, I just really want us to enjoy what's happening right now. And we came in here and we talked about this on draft night 2018. Everybody wasn't sure about what this guy would be. Me and you talked about this last year. And this kid has brought so much fun to football.
Sure,
in this town.
Unbridled joy.
It has been fun. He has been fun to watch. He has now broken the touchdown record for the Ravens. I think before he came into this game, he tied it, I believe. But now he has surpassed that with the touchdowns that he's had today. I just want people to take the moment and appreciate what we had. I don't care if we never see this again. It doesn't matter. Live in this moment.
And that, you know what, Rita?
This has been a very fun ride.
It's great.
Considering the opponents that they've had this year, when I looked at the schedule prior to the 2019 season, I said 9-7 tops.
Right. We thought this was.
I said 9-7.
Murderer's Row. We thought this was murderer's effing row.
This was a brutal schedule. And yet they have found a way to win 11 straight football games.
It's incredible. This is incredible. We've never known this feeling before.
I do not know.
And
what
this has
is
been
like.
a model franchise, and we've still never known this feeling before.
Yes, and I liken this to the Panthers in 2015. However, I hope that if and when they do advance, it's a different outcome because they got beat down. The Panthers got beat down in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it wasn't fun.
I think that this team is so well balanced on both sides that does not happen if they do find a way to advance.
Rita, hand me one of them magazines over there.
Yeah.
Hand me one of those.
Absolutely.
I'm just going to throw in a cheap plug. Go get this week.
Absolutely.
This is my favorite image of the year.
Yes.
This is my favorite thing. So this is our Press Box Best of 2019 issue in which our Athlete of the Year is, of course, Lamar Jackson, which is the easiest decision in the history of time. And our Sports Person of the Year is Mo Gabba, who's just like the most incredible human being ever. And this image of the two of them, man, like I get chills.
Me too.
You know, like I get chills with this image because it's just incredible.
Two good people.
So go get that this week. Go have that sitting around when you got people coming over. Have a couple copies sitting on your coffee table because they might want to steal one of them after they see it because it's just incredible. So get to your neighborhood Royal Farms and pick that up and just enjoy. Like, this is the sheer joy. Like, I, you know, we get in our sports bubble, right? So, like, when I get out in the community and I'm just talking to people and, like, I was over at a restaurant this week and talking to one of the owners of the restaurant and she just said, look, like, I want to do everything. I'm just all in. Like, what this does, a city that otherwise hibernates after the holidays, like we would go into hiding for the most part after the holidays around these parts, and instead we have life and we have
2 years
joy.
In a row, guys. And I know the first time it wasn't pretty.
Yeah, we didn't
know
yet.
We
just
ended
pretty.
And in my opinion, this is my opinion. A lot of people had some growth to do, and that includes the coaching staff with Lamar.
Yep.
Lamar had some growth to do. But in the offseason, a lot of people worked hard, and they found a way to say, let's maximize his talent, and let's put the talent that is needed for him. And his guys have absolutely found a way to have a good on-field relationship with him. When you see him out there pointing and telling guys to move this way, that is not designed, but they found a way to have a mojo, and that is special. That is very special.
It's awesome.
It's just fun to watch, and I just want people to enjoy this moment because too many times I see people trying to find a way to dissect who Lamar Jackson is, and I don't think you can. I don't think you can dissect who he is.
No, just
I just think that he's so good at what he does that he is in his own avenue, and that's okay. That really is okay.
I agree. I agree. Sit back, enjoy the show.
And if we never see it again, it doesn't matter. You were here in
2019. Yep, you got to live it. You got to have this feeling. Yep,
so,
no doubt.
So enjoy the first time ever having a home field advantage.
I'm with you on all of it. Today's the first day of Hanukkah. Happy Hanukkah to all of our friends. Obviously, some more holidays coming up this week too, and whatever. Just have a wonderful, wonderful week. It's a delightful time to be a fan of the Baltimore Ravens. Next Sunday we will be back.
I'm bringing my beer in here, and I'm gonna put
Gonna be a silly fun week, right? Yeah, this is just a.
And I'm gonna just say stuff. I'm just gonna say random quotes of stuff.
I like it. We're gonna do the show. I mean, we have to come up with something to talk about because
we can talk about some beer.
I'm with you.
I'm gonna tell y'all the beer.
If you can find, you know what I want to try? I haven't tried yet.
What?
I want to try the peanut butter whiskey.
I got that in the house. I'll bring
it. Please, I need to try that.
Somebody bought it for me. Shout out to Noodles.
All right.
To Rodney Elliott.
Oh, I love
University of Maryland basketball. For my birth, I'm 40, guys. So for my 40th birthday, he got me some peanut butter whiskey.
Dope.
I will bring it in here and I will let you try it because this is going to be a cakewalk. It doesn't matter what happens.
We can just have some fun.
We're going to be here anyway. We're going to have some fun.
We'll have some fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to still do one more show tomorrow for Glenn Clark Radio.
Yeah.
So I'll be here tomorrow. Read, of course, at the NFL Chick on Twitter, the Gridiron Gals podcast as well, GlennClarkRadio.com. I'm back tomorrow at Glenn Clark Radio on Twitter. Thank you to everybody for tuning in. Thank you for your shares, for telling everybody else about what it is that we're doing. Have a great holiday week. We will see you next Sunday from the Live Casino Hotel Studio. This has been the Project Game Day Postgame Show.